ladies and gentlemen, regarding family devotions, and I am dealing with this and staying focused on this for your sakes, for your sake, rather. I cannot emphasize it enough. You're not going to make it through this plague, pandemic situation without God, and therefore without praying to Him together as a family, reading God's Word together, and yes, even singing the songs of Zion together. You need that. And some of you need to play Christian music throughout the day to keep the demons at bay. As Saul called for David to play music to drive away the evil spirits, some of you need to listen to Christian music, godly music, throughout the day and get off of the couch binging on much of the demonic foolishness on Netflix and other places. You need to meditate on the Word of God very seriously. And if you have a good Christian radio station in your town, you ought to support them and you ought to listen to them throughout the day. You need to make sure that you keep your heart and mind stayed on God during this time. Someone said yesterday that this plague pandemic is going to last for 2 years, but they don't know. It may last for 5 years, 10 years, until America is destroyed because of our wickedness in forgetting God, our wickedness in trying to turn God's world upside down with homosexuality and the homosexual agenda, and God forbid, homosexual marriage, which is not marriage. And God is not pleased. And the American church and America has led the way in this demonic foolishness. And if you think for 1 minute God is going to stand by and let you do this to Him and to others in this universe, in this world, He's showing you that you're not going to do it. He's showing you right now you're not going to do it and get away with it. Well, this country is suffering now more than ever before. One of the great doctors, I believe it was Dr. Redfield, said this virus, this plague, I'm calling it the plague, has brought America to her knees. And so what I'm trying to encourage you to do, you need to go to your knees voluntarily if you're going to survive this and be there for your children and grandchildren and be a witness for Christ. So do not take family devotions lightly. You need to pray together and read the Bible together in the morning. And it's going to be hard. You have to overcome spiritual inertia. You have to overcome inertia itself, just the getting up, going through the process, going through that time when some of you don't know exactly which what to do next, and confusion and the slow moving in the morning and all of that, and dealing with family members and people taking too long in the bathroom and whatever. It's just a whole lot, and the devil's going to fight you on that. So I want to encourage you to do what I taught my family to do many years ago. As soon as you get up, have a mini devotion just by yourself. right on the side of the bed. Pray before you even get up and go wash your face and brush your teeth. But as soon as you pray, please, by all means, go wash your face. That needs to be one of the first things you do, with some nice tepid water, cold water, and wake. That first washing of the face is so crucial, so important. And then take care of your other things you need to take care of real quick, and get your clothes on as fast as possible. Get some exercise in. Get you some green tea or some coffee and start praying and reading the Bible. It'll make all the difference in your life and in your family. Dr. Thomas Watson said, when Christians abate their fervency in private devotions, God abates their peace. And that is so true. If you slacken the strings of the violin, the music is spoiled. So if a Christian is slack in duty, in prayer, in reading the Holy Word of God, they spoil the sweet music of peace in their souls and in their homes. And all true born-again Christians know this. As the fire decays, the cold increases. So as fervency in duty abates in the matters of prayer and reading the Bible and devotions, our peace cools. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of all Christian families through prayer and through obedience to your holy word, and help them, Lord, to do whatever is necessary to stay together. For your glory, praise, and honor, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ in the community, and for their children's sake. For one of the reasons why you hate divorce is because the children that you chose to bless them with, their lives are messed up and ruined. And oftentimes they don't come out of it successfully. So, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of each and every Christian marriage. And Lord, we pray that people will be wise and understand they need each other now more than ever. We pray, Holy Father God, for the salvation of those families that don't know you as Savior. Help them to grow in the faith, to get saved and to grow in the faith, and to read your holy word on how the family ought to be according to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6 and other passages in your holy word. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins in the church of not reaching the families who don't know you with the gospel. And Lord, you probably don't want to even deal with us anymore, and that is understandable. However, Lord, we're going to pray what you told us to pray. Send forth laborers into the field to reach the whited harvest fields. And we pray that today for America and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our passage of scripture today from the family verses is what I call it. The family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. This is a passage of scripture, holy scripture, that God led me to lead my family in reading over the past 33 years to remind everybody, quite frankly, especially my wife, of her duties, and all of us of our duties in the marriage and family. And as we read the female verses on yesterday, or the wife verses on yesterday, and I'm going to say the same thing I said on yesterday, and that your obedience in the family is not contingent upon anyone else's obedience or lack thereof. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, God instructs wives that even if your husband is lost and on his way to hell and is a devil, you can win him by being obedient to him and being submissive and being a cheerful witness for the Lord and not nagging him and rebelling against him. See, so God wants each and every one of us in the family. I know you folks don't like this because you have read some lying books by preachers and pastors that have perpetuated this demonic lie that your behavior is contingent upon what your family members do, and that's just not the case. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do because God told you what to do specifically and individually. God speaks to the wife, God speaks to the husband, God speaks to the father, God speaks to the mother, God speaks to the children. And then that same thing goes for everybody in the family. You need to obey God. The only thing that your obedience is based on or contingent upon is upon your relationship to God and His Word. That's it, not other people. And see, the reason why this is so important is because what do we do from even the Garden of Eden? We always want to blame others, and that's what we have in the church today. Husbands blaming their wives, wives blaming their husbands, children blaming their parents, parents blaming their children, and so it's a demonic, vicious cycle of the blame game that started in the Garden of Eden. And you're not getting anywhere like that. You're acting like little children. Grow up. And that's why you're still bitter and you're resentful, because you're trying to blame somebody else for your not being happy. So verse 25, let's read the verses to the husbands. And this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we have so many husbands today who believe, like my father believed, that love is supposed to be this sugary, sweet, saccharine candy, apple, cotton candy thing all the time. If you're not wonderful and sweet and dandy and delicate with everything you say to your wife, you're not loving. If you don't let her just say whatever she wants to say disrespectfully in front of your children and cuss you out and disrespect you and have a nasty attitude all day, does not do her job. If you don't come with some little candy apple cotton candy, sugary, saccharine mess, always rewarding her for doing evil and all of that, then you're not a good husband. That's a lie out of hell. It's a lie out of hell. That's not love, man. That's not love. Does Jesus treat you that way? He never treated me that way. And I know he still loves me, but he will not let me have my way. He will not let me disrespect him. He will not let me talk back to him and holler at him and scream at him and embarrass him in front of the children of the world. He has never done that in 40 years of my serving him. He doesn't play that. And I don't know who you think you're serving. If you think Jesus is going to let you do that, he's your husband in the church. He doesn't do that. See, right now, Jesus, some of y'all are confused. Here's the question to you. Does Jesus love us now? Right now? While you can't go to Chipotle? You can't even go to the church house? Because death is hanging over your head? Does Jesus love us right now? While he's chastising us and rebuking the daylights out of us, you can't do what you used to do. You can't do and have what you used to have. No. See, Jesus is sick of all the lies and the hypocrisy and the side pieces and the whoredom and the whoring around and the homosexualizing in the church and allowing homosexuals to be members of his church. Unrepentant homosexuals who are still committing homosexuality, and will tell you that it's not a sin. See, these people are so wicked, they will tell you that homosexuality is not a sin. No Christian in his right mind would say adultery is not a sin, or fornication is not a sin. They're committing that and more. And you preachers, controlled and dominated by them, let them into the church to be ministers, in the pulpit, in the choir box, holding hands in the church, holding hands at the special meetings, single meetings, and everything else. Everybody in the church knows about it. So God just shut the church down. So, but wait a minute, though. Is Jesus loving us right now? Your favorite restaurant is closed. Your favorite coffee shop is closed. You can't go anywhere. You're afraid to go somewhere. Hospitals are filling. Listen to me very carefully. Don't start praying yet. It's not time to pray. Don't bow your head yet. Listen to me. Does Jesus, our husband, love us now? His wife, his bride, the church, when he's filling up the hospitals with sick bodies of Christians, of pastors, of bishops, does he love us now? Where's all the praise? Where's all of the glory to God and hallelujah? And some of you are still talking stupid in the prosperity gospel way on Twitter and every place else. Listen to me. Don't go anywhere. I'm not finished yet. I'll be finished in a few minutes. Some of you people still talking the stupid prosperity gospel talk on Twitter, on Facebook, talking about, I sense a breakthrough. I sense something getting ready to happen. Getting ready to happen. Getting ready to happen. Sit your ass down with that foolishness. I sense something. It's getting ready to break. Keep your hope and everything. No. Dear friend, it's Jesus chastising you. It's not the devil. God is dealing with you, dear saints. God shut down the church. And I wouldn't say that because I fear God. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. If I did not know it, God is the one behind the shutting down of your church because of your demonic foolishness of the prosperity gospel, got folks all caught up in shopping and money and fake it till you make it. And you're still talking stupid. And then that leads to side pieces, living in adultery, fornication. Now we got pastors' wives and pastors in bed with homosexuals. They got a side piece of the opposite sex and a side piece same sex in the church. Whole denomination splitting over something so stupid and so abominable as homosexuality. So asinine. And so the question remains, does Jesus love us? Does Jesus still love us when he rebukes us? Is he still your Savior and your Master? And how? And you love him? Are you still praising him? Giving him the highest praise like you were? Does he still love you? Does God still love you? Is God still blessing you right now? I'm asking you a question. He's your husband. You're his bride. But he's not going to let you have your way and get away with your evil and your foolishness and your adultery and your fornication and your lies. And by the way, I said it before and I'm going to say it again. Jada Pinkett Smith acts more like a Christian than most Christian people in the church. She does not act like a hypocrite. And she messed up and she confessed up. I'm waiting on Will to do the same. And I'm waiting on Christian husbands and wives to do the same. There's some husbands right now. You might need to leave the house and then call her and tell her and see if it'd be all right to stop by. But you know you got to confess that sin. That adultery, that side piece. Well, my counselor, my Christian counselor, said, no, never say that, never mention that, because some things you need to take to the grave with you. God will deal with it later on. That's a lie to hell. You need to tell it now and let the chips fall where they may, because you don't have a marriage anyway. You don't have a marriage anyhow if you got a lie, man. You don't have a marriage. In fact, you're hindering your marriage. You're hurting your intimacy between you and your wife if you don't tell her the truth about what you did. Will she be mad? Yes. Will she consider divorcing? Yes. But if God is in it and you both are praying right, it could be a turning point. And the same thing for the wife. She needs to confess her side piece. Some of you men, you little effeminate metrosexual men, need to confess that you have a demonic attraction to ugly, stinking men. You're a lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. You need to confess it to your wife, tell the truth, and shame the devil. Some of you wives, you got the same mess going on. You all of a sudden, you all attracted to women and all this mess, the seducing spirits of the devil from hell has seduced you all to believe a lie and to make you think that's all right, and it's not at all. I don't care if your child said, oh, I'm coming out as gay. Well, you're going to hell. You're my child, I love you, but you're going to bust hell wide open. So if you want to continue to do that, go right ahead. But I'm telling you to your face, you're gonna die and go to hell if you don't repent of that and believe in Jesus. That's right. You can love your children and still tell them the truth. This is not God's way. You don't applaud it and back them and all that. And if you're living in my house, you got to go up out of here. You got to get it in a hurry. I mean, today. You say you gay, you got to leave today. How can you be so hateful to your children? No, that's love. That's not hate. See, you twisted in your mind. That's love. You say, aren't you going to feel guilty and bad that they're going out there with the gays and the homosexuals? I'm not going to be thinking about it because I didn't raise them to do that. That's the devil doing that in their lives, and they're letting him because they know better. Now, for those of you who didn't raise your children right, and you were sneaking around with a homosexual and homosexualizing, you got all that garbage in you, and you have passed it on down to them, then you got a problem. And you didn't want them to go that way, but you that way. See? And you passed that evil on down to them. So does Jesus still love us under this chastisement? Does Jesus still love his wife, his bride, while we're going through hell? Families are literally going through hell in multiple ways. That's why I'm here every day, praying and reading the Bible, trying to help you get through it. You see, because God prepared me for this years ago in every way. God gave me a prayer. Now that I see as a prophetic prayer, he gave me a prayer about 2 years ago. It's online, pretty popular. It goes like this. God, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and funerals. Prepare us for life and death. And that's what we have right now. See, this is the other side of it. Bad days, these are bad days. Whether you want to, well, where's your prosperity gospel folk at? Who don't want to say nothing is bad, nothing is terrible, nothing, we're not going through anything and so forth. And no, this is bad. These are bad days. These are not days of celebration. These are days of funerals, tragedies, and death. And you got to deal with it. And you can't try to put your head in the sand. It's real. So, back to the husbands, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. God wants you to go to work, husbands. Your wife needs some help in her growth. I know that she's proud and stubborn and arrogant and she thinks she's smarter than you. That's fine, but you better be obedient to God and help her be what she is supposed to be and should be. And it's going to be a journey. It's not going to happen overnight. Cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Many husbands never get the wife they need and want because they're not willing to put in the work, the hard work sometimes of rebuking your wife and telling her how it IE is going to be. And confronting her regarding her nasty attitude towards her children. Confronting her about not taking care of the house properly. Got roaches and rats all over the house and got babies in the house with you because you won't keep the house clean. Confronting her about her hypocrisy, how she dresses up for church but she does not dress up at home, how she respects her boss respects the pastor, but does not respect her husband. If you don't deal with that from the get-go, she's never going to be what she should be. And so, husbands, you need to go to work in love. Love your wives enough that you will tell them the truth. And if you're not willing to do that, you don't love her. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Husband, you know you're not interested in taking a rebellious, stubborn, mean, cussing, disrespectful woman, mother who does not care for your children. She's willing to leave your children in diapers with a babysitter so she can go out on a date night. Yeah, you know deep down that is not workable. You know you don't want to be involved with that. You don't want to do that. And you need to, above everybody else, God has delegated it to you to hold her accountable. Not her sisters in the Lord. You hold her accountable. And by the way, she should not be with her sisters in the Lord more than she is with you. And more than she is with her children. Later for that. In time to come, she might be able to do something like that. But right now, she's got to put in the work. She's got to be a helpmeet to you. And she needs to take care of her children and keep her house clean. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Some of you women who call yourselves prophetesses and preachers and evangelists, if you fail as a wife and as a mother, you're disqualified. Sit down. If you're so busy traveling and trying to speak to somebody else about their life and their family, and your family and life is in shambles, your husband has not had sex in 3 weeks or 3 months because you feel like you're so holy, you've been fasting for a meeting, and you don't want to be touched, and you got him on a schedule once a month or whatever you're thinking. And your children are emaciated because they're not eating properly. And they think the babysitter is their mother. Then you are disqualified. Sit your behind down. And you can pray at home holding your babies. And stop trying to be something that God never intended for you to be. See, that kind of stuff comes in time to come after you've done your basic fundamental jobs of being a great wife, being a great woman, being a great mother. You say, I've never heard it like that before. I know, because your pastor and your preacher friends, they're pumping you up because they know that you're the one who heads the home, and so they just pumping you up to keep you happy. They're not going to tell you the truth. They want you to keep on putting down your husband and respecting them, embarrassing your husband. And why, by the way, why don't we ever see you with your husband? Where's your husband at? Why are you traveling alone? Who in the world do you think you are? Where's your husband? Oh, my husband is back home with the children. And we never see your husband. Where's your husband? Woman? Anyway, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, we're going to read that tomorrow. We're going to read verse 33 tomorrow. Husbands, love your wives and love them in the right way. Some of you husbands, thousands of you, millions of you, have put your wicked, evil wife and mother of your children on a pedestal that she knows she's not supposed to be on. She knows deep down she does not want to be on, and you know you are not to put her on. You know why? Because the devil is going to take a bat and knock off every time. And she's going to be a shattered mess. You got the wrong idea of a wife, son. Do you hear me? Your wife, son, is to help you, not boss you, not control you, not to get all up in your face and disrespect you, and you 285 pounds all muscle, and she's barely 100 pounds dripping wet in front of your children, in front of your daughters. Because see, even though you will not knock her head off, the men that are going to marry your daughters, they're not going to have the same character, sir. And if you don't put a stop to that foolishness and let her know in front of your daughters that you can't do that, to be wagging your finger all up in my face and talking to me any kind of way in front of my children, that needs to be stopped by any means necessary. You do whatever God gives you the leadership and the peace to do. And even though, as I said, you will knock her head off, they're going to knock your daughter's head off. And your daughter's going to come back running to you with scars all over her face and beat up and everything else when she pulls that stuff that only some of the rebellious women can do. In fact, the most evil women can do it. They can literally make their head move from side to side. Men can't do it unless they're homosexual. They can move their head from side. It's just unbelievable. It's not like this. They can actually shift when they're talking and they're angry, especially a Jamaican woman, if she's speaking Patois, that head can go just like this. Okay, people? I know you don't like it, but somebody needs to tell you the truth. I tell you what, preacher, I'll never come back and listen to you again. That's fine. That's fine. I got you today. Now, let's pray. Let's pray for fellow Christians. Let's pray for Christian families who are willing to do it right. Let's pray for churches. Let's pray for government officials. All the way down the line, let's pray for the thousands of people who need comfort and who are hurting because of the death of family members and friends in the coronavirus, through the coronavirus disease. Let's pray for the healing of the sick, if they're willing to confess their sins and repent, based upon God's holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray first today for the families that are hurting in the millions of family members now because of the death of a loved one or the death of loved ones from the coronavirus. disease, and then we pray for those who have lost loved ones from other things. For thousands are dying from other things, such as gun shootings, car accidents, heart attacks. One lady this past week died of breast cancer at the age of 57. And children are dying, young people are dying. Pastors are burying their sons from coronavirus and their daughters as well. And we pray, Lord, for these, for some by name, but we pray for the millions of faceless people as well, that Holy Father God, you would draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scripture for salvation and comfort. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for these people by name. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the family and friends of Minnesota pastor and Dr. Al Hume. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church elder Philip Parrish. We pray for the family and friends of Oregon church member Steve Betschot. We pray for the family and friends of California church member Gail Alexis. We pray for the family and friends of Arkansas church member William Barton. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey church deacon Richard Barber. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona church member Kimberly Chavez Lopez Bird. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church member Brenda Perryman. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church member Gloria Smith. We pray for the family and friends of Michigan church member Jeffrey Smith, another family hit by multiple deaths. Comfort them as only you can. And Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, for the healing of those who are sick, if they're willing to confess their sins. And we're talking about Christians, to you and to the elders of the church and others. And Lord, we pray for those who are lost and sick, for we pray for their salvation and for their healing. Holy Father God, we pray for all people who name the name of Christ. Help us to get real and to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to get back to you, our first love, by your grace, your might, and the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, we pray for everybody in the government, from the president on down. We pray for all governors and we pray, Lord, for all mayors and all police chiefs and all sheriffs, all senators and representatives, state senators and state representatives. And we pray, Lord, for city council and school board members, that you will save their lost souls. We pray for the salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them. And Lord, have your Holy Ghost and your Holy Gospel to not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. Lead, guide, and direct these people, every last one of them, in the way that you want them to go, including the doctors and nurses and those who are in authority regarding that, Dr. Fauci and others. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke and bind the tentacles of the devil from choking these people and hindering them from doing what they know they should do. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe and in the media. We pray for the revival of all Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for all other countries the same way we pray for ours And we pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem and the protection of your home, your chosen people's homeland, Israel. And Holy Father God, we pray for Christians being persecuted in Nigeria, China, and all around the world. We pray that you would comfort them, keep them, bless them, protect them, and provide for them, and give them grace, as you did the martyrs in Fox's Book of Martyrs, in their trying time and hour, and dying time and hour as well. And Holy Father God, prepare us for our days and give us your grace to be the martyrs you want us to be when it's time for us to go through persecution for our faith. And Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake we continue to pray now for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests. Lord, we pray for thousands, as we have promised them. We will pray for them until they tell us to stop. And we have never taken anybody off the list. No one has ever asked us to be taken off the list, amazingly. And so, Holy Father God, hear and answer their prayers. Hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation and spiritual and family and life and financial and material, physical, emotional, protection and provision, blessings upon them all. And we pray for a few by name. We pray, Lord, for Megan, that you would open a door and provide her with a room to rent in the Orange County or Long Beach area. Save and protect her friend who is being moved into a care facility. Lord, we pray for Elaine. Lord, as you may lead her, help her to give us an update. We pray for the Lewis family in Monroe, Louisiana, who lost their father, Hilton Lewis Jr., mother Shirley Lewis, and son Hilton Christopher Lewis to the coronavirus plague. For divine comfort also and salvation for the surviving daughter, Letera Lewis Cooper, who has returned home from the hospital after testing positive for the virus. Lord, we pray for Cheryl, for her Christian bookstore, to receive financial support and allow it to reopen. Let your will be done. We pray for Pastor Dobson. Please provide him with the money and food he needs for the orphans, and protect them all from the coronavirus. We pray for Nita, for Carrie to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we pray that you would heal him of the coronavirus. Lord, we pray for Vicky. Bestow wisdom, strength, understanding, and obedience upon all government and ministry leaders. Bless and protect Pastor Evans, his family, church, and medical team. Heal Ambar completely and give her relief. Please open ears and hearts to the truth of the gospel in this time, and for the time of desperation, to lead people to Jesus Christ. Open hearts to give to Joshua's ministry. Protect Joshua, his family, all the people who Critical Support Services is reaching, and all first responders. Protect all people from coronavirus who have not been affected, and give quick and strong recovery to those who have been diagnosed. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the ministry, and those who have rededicated their lives through the ministry. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians that you want them to be in every way. And Lord, we pray for Day, we pray for Marl, we pray for Christy, we pray for Gal, and we pray for Jay, we pray for Rusha, we pray for Elvis. And Lord, we pray also for the people who have rededicated their life to you, where we committed their life to you. We pray for Jen. We pray for Shin. We pray for Kans. We pray for Margaret. We pray for Joe. And we pray for Mabina. And we pray for Steve. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in our lives as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading today is titled, Let God's Salvation Save You from Fear, by Dr. Rick Warren. Psalm 27:1 says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. I love the way my wife Kay watches horror movies. If something like Alien comes on, television, she turns on every light in the room, and sometimes pulls up the comforter to cover her eyes. Would she watch a horror movie in the total dark? Absolutely not. Many of you won't either, because light helps you see things more clearly. David says in Psalm 27:1, The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. God is described in two ways, as light and as salvation. Yet many Christians live their lives in fear of rejection, completely ignoring the fact that if God is our salvation, then we have nothing to fear, not even losing the approval of those around us. Living for the approval of others is a miserable way to live. It will cripple your life, but God is your light and salvation. Light does three things. It illuminates and lets you see things more clearly. Number two, it protects and provides a source of security. Number three, it energizes you. David is saying in Psalm 27 that his relationship with God has the same three effects as light, so he's not going to be afraid of anybody. Do you have a relationship with God like that? If you don't, you're probably susceptible to the fear of rejection and the fear of many other things as well. And dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to get to know him today, because Jesus Christ said he is the light of the world. You need to understand that you're walking in darkness right now if you have never believed in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says you are a sinner like the rest of us. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have broken God's Ten Commandments. You don't believe that? Have you ever told a lie before? You say, well, I've told a few white lies. Well, a white lie, black lie, brown lie, whatever, is a lie. You say, well, I told a few fibs. That's a lie too. Have you ever stolen anything before? Well, no, I've never stolen any cars, anything. I've never been arrested for stealing anything from a store. Well, have you stolen some money from your father out of his change jar? When he gave you some money to go buy something, did you buy something else with it and then didn't give him his change back? Have you stolen some food out of a refrigerator that does not belong to you? That makes you a thief. You have broken God's law. Have you ever lusted after somebody in your heart or something? Have you ever looked at pornography and lusted after people? You have broken God's Ten Commandments. Have you ever dishonored or disrespected or disobeyed your parents? You have broken God's Ten Commandments. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? You have broken God's Ten Commandments. So you're guilty. And because you're guilty, you deserve to go to hell. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. Hell is bad news. Hell is forever. Hell. Jesus Christ preached more about hell than anybody in the Bible, and he said that hell is a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ said hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said it himself, and he said it best in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know him? Notice what he says to you. For God so loved the world. That means that if you're in this world, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's referring to no one else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who never sinned in word, thought, or deed. Jesus Christ, who raised the dead, who walked on water. Jesus Christ, who healed the sick. Jesus Christ came and chose to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, for our sins. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God, and all you have to do is believe in him. He says as much in this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that word whosoever, means anybody at any time, that includes you, believeth in him. Believeth means to trust in him, to have faith in him. Should not perish means to go to hell and not go to hell by the grace of God, but have everlasting life and get to go to heaven by the grace of God. You didn't hear anything about joining a church or being in a church or paying any money to the preacher or getting baptized or doing any work in the church. None of those things can save you. All you have to do to be saved, and all you can do to be saved, according to Jesus, is believe in him. The Bible says further in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, do you want to be saved from hell this morning and have that peace and assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven and not go to hell? If so, simply believe in Jesus Christ. Do what he told you to do. believe in him, and then pray and ask him to save you. Call on his name. And if you're not familiar with prayer, I'll be more than happy to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, right where you are. You might be on your sick bed. You might be on your deathbed. And I always have preached the gospel in every sermon I've ever preached over the past 40 years, because God called me to be an evangelist. But I am taking my time and preaching it even more so now, and with greater emphasis, because for the first time in our history, are we directly under the threat of death, each and every one of us. For you may be sick with the coronavirus right now and not know it, and you can drop dead any day, having infected others as well. So today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised you. And I want you to understand that if you die without Jesus Christ, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you don't choose to believe in Jesus Christ, you will go to the eternal burning hell. But if you believe in him and pray and ask him to save you, you will go to eternal heaven to be with God, Jesus, the angels, and the saints. So let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight, for I have broken your Ten Commandments, as was already mentioned. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my wicked ways and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet or my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been so good to be with you today. Thank you for stopping by. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.